Well, this evening we're going back into our teaching, the life of Christ. We have been going along in this, and really in our teaching, we haven't really got into talking specifically about Jesus' life here in the earth. And one of the reasons we're sort of laying down a foundation of really looking at from a scripture standpoint of his coming. What was his purpose? A lot of people really, when they read about Jesus' life, most of the church world doesn't understand why even Jesus came. You go to most churches and you ask them why Jesus died on the cross, they'll say, forgive our sins. That's what the first thing they'll say, which is really a spiritually immature answer. And yet most churches are in that place. It's all about the forgiveness of sin. And if we don't understand, really, we look at scriptures, and through the scriptures tells us things. We look in the Old Testament, New Testament, speaks and tells us things of what Jesus' plans and purposes were, why he was coming, what he was going to do. And if you don't know those things, if you don't understand about what he was going to do, you would look at someone's life. It's just like from the standpoint, let's say, just from the natural. If I remember, when I worked at Reese's, worked in the one department I was in, and I was a group leader there. And in that department, I found out is if you had people who didn't understand what really they were trying to accomplish, what they were trying to do, if they only saw everything from the perspective of their job where they were at, most of the time those people, because they didn't sometimes understand what or all you were trying to accomplish, they'd end up almost working against you more than helping you. And it was really important that they knew, what you were doing. What are we trying to accomplish? People would sit down, well, why do we have to do this way? Or why do we have to do it? We could just do it over here this way. Well, you can't do it that way. Not to what we want to accomplish. You can't do it like that. And so people didn't understand or know. And it's just like with Jesus. If people don't know the purpose of Christ coming, what was he going to do? Why did Jesus live the life? Why did he do what he did in his life? Why did God send him? Why just didn't God send him? But he turned around and died right away on the cross. They took him as a baby. If just dying on the cross was a thing, they could have took him and nailed him on the cross as a baby. They could have just done it. And that wasn't there was a purpose in what he was going to accomplish and what he was going to do. The idea of the forgiveness of sin, and he had a purpose in his coming, and it was to fulfill something, and really, it was to fulfill something through the ages. It wasn't something just at the period of time. It's like when people look at the fact and say, well, Jesus came and he did what he did for forgiveness of sin, and he did that. Well, that was one thing he did, but, the forgiveness of sin in itself and its terminology that he's used the most of the time is incorrect. Because it's the idea of forgiveness of sin. Jesus didn't come to forgive sin like he forgave sin in the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, God forgave sin, but man still couldn't go to heaven. Their sins were forgiven. If a Jew died, and he died, and his sins were forgiven, he didn't go to heaven. And was important of what God did. And so we want to look at some things. And one of the things we want to see is in God's purpose, in what he was doing. We were talked about the last time I was teaching, we talked somewhat about the resurrection and what the Bible talked about, the resurrection of Jesus, him being born, him being raised from the dead. Because it was important for his resurrection from the dead. If Jesus was, people say, well, Jesus died for your sins, but the Bible says is he was raised for your justification. In other words, if he wasn't raised from the dead, you'd never been justified. So the fact that he died would have done no good. Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and told them that if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, your faith is in vain. In other words, it doesn't matter. And the church has put 90% of the emphasis on the death of Christ, and about 1% on the resurrection, and the other 9% was forgiveness of sin. So, and really, the church has had a death religion. It amplified death rather than life. And Jesus did die. There's a need that he died for our sins. He died as a man, and that's important. He had to die as a man. If he hadn't died, if he didn't die as a man, and we would all be in trouble. But one of the things that I want to begin to look at here tonight, so some things in Scripture, because of what Jesus was going to fulfill through his life that he came down here on the earth, he was going to accomplish something for humanity that could never have been accomplished any other way. And really, it was God's plan in the redemption of man. And most of the church world today has this picture of Jesus and his finished work. His finished work was to forgive man of his sin. That was the finished work. And that wasn't what the finished work was. That wasn't the finished work. The forgiveness of your sin wasn't the finished work. That was the beginning of something. But the finished work, we want to look at this because it all goes together. If Jesus didn't complete certain things that the Scripture says that he was going to do, what he was going to accomplish, then he wasn't the Messiah, and then he wasn't. It didn't matter what his life was. It didn't matter any of the rest of it. He had to fulfill what the Scripture said he was going to do, and so it's like today. Much of what people look at is what Jesus did. It happened during the New Testament times. People today say, well, most of that's gone, that's over. You know, that was just happened for that time period. Well, if it happened for that time period, then Jesus, the rest of the stuff isn't worth it. It isn't true. It isn't, you know, it's meaningless what he did. In other words, if Jesus accomplished and did something and now it ended, well, then what good is it? That you know, devalues everything that he did. And most of the church world devalues everything that he did because of really the unbelief. People don't believe what the Bible says. So it's really important for us to understand what the Bible said. And looking at some of the things we had talked about, Jesus being raised, and Christ was raised from the dead. He was seated at the right hand of God. And through his resurrection, in Hebrews 1:3, we had read the last time, but I want to, in some other scriptures here, but I want to look at them again. It says, in Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 3, it says, he who being the brightness of his glory, speaking of God, the Father. He was the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person. I want to think about this. You know, this is a marvelous thing when you think about this. Do you think that Jesus Christ, he is the expressed image of the glory of God the Father. He is the expressed image of him. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. Remember the disciples asked, you know, we want to see the Father. And Jesus said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And this is one of the things I've heard people over time say, well, I know Jesus, but I don't know the Father. Well, now hold it. If you know Jesus, you know what the Father's like. They are identical. They're not different in what they, the Father, some people think Father God, he's sort of the heavy, he's the bad guy, and Jesus sort of keeps him under control. You know, Jesus is sort of like the lion tamer. He got the chair and the whip, sort of keeps Dad from jumping off the throne and attacking people. And, you know, well, you know, and if you think about it, the church has taught that. The church taught, you know, you're covered with the blood of Jesus. And see, God looks at you through the blood because, you know, or he couldn't look at you. Well, that isn't how God looks at you, through the blood. You know, God looks at you, you're his child, you're born, and, you know, and see, people gave this idea that, you know, somehow God, you know, he still ain't really keen about you. He's not really sure if he likes you yet or not. And, you know, it's only because of what Jesus did, he tolerates you. And Christianity has this thought, and we need to get under the statement because when we look, and we'll go over and look and begin to teach that Jesus is life in the earth. If he's the expressed image of God, we can look how his compassion toward people to heal and deliver people. That's the way the Father is. That's the way the Father is. You know, Dad came up with the idea, not Jesus. Dad came up with the plan of redemption. His son carried it out, but he came up with the plan. He was the guy who had the plan. And he's the one who wanted to redeem us. It wasn't Jesus said, "I'll let Dad let me get down there and redeem them, and I'll be the arbitrator between you and them, and you know, I know you want to nail them good, but you know, well, Dad, I'm going to take all the lightning bolts away from you and put them over here in the closet, and and so, but we want to see something. We're going to look at something tonight. He was this expressed image. He said, this person, upholding all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Upholds all things by the word of his power. Think about that. God gave us his word. The Bible says that Jesus is the word of God. He upholds all things by the word of his power. So what would happen if you and I stand on the word of God, you and I speak the word of God? Everything is upheld by the word of his power. That's why the Bible tells you, you know, to believe that we believe the word, we're supposed to confess the word. Why? Because it upholds all things. It upholds everything. The word of his power. Hallelujah. He says, and when he by himself purged our sins, sat down what? At the right hand of the majesty on high. So he sat down. In other words, there was a resurrection and Jesus ascended on high. Now, he ascended on high, and what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of God. Now, really, you need to understand this. Now, he is accomplishing, and we're going to look at the New Testament, because in the New Testament, he spoke, in the Gospel of John, we're going to go to, in the 14th chapter, we're going to start with. But we want to look at something, because Jesus made statements about what he wanted to do. And so we're going to find out he did fulfill this. We're going to find out he fulfilled this. So when we look at his ministry and we look at what he does and see how his actions are toward people, his purpose toward people, we see him in God's goodness to him ministering to people in the earth, teaching them what the kingdom's like, giving them all these instructions about things. They operate in the kingdom. And it's for a purpose, because there's things coming in the horizon man has not known about nor understand. And when it takes place, man's going to be in a totally different position. Now, whoever believes in Jesus is going to be in a totally different position than man has ever been. You know, people say, I've heard over the years when I first got saved, everybody was teaching this stuff that we're trying to get. We got saved, we got to back where Adam was. No, we didn't. If I'm back to where Adam was, that means I can sin and be cut off from fellowship with God and have to get born again. God will have to send somebody to die for me. It's like, that ain't happening. Something happened to us, and we need to understand that. We got born again. We've got the very nature of God. So, and we want to see this. Jesus Christ was called the second Adam. The second Adam, the first Adam, didn't redeem anybody. And Jesus came and he redeemed mankind so man could be in perfect union with God through faith in Christ. And so, but we want to look here because as we begin to look at it, Jesus began to explain, and really when we're reading John here, the parts we're going to read, this is Jesus on the night of his, before he's going to be crucified. This is when he's going to be hauled off later on, and he's going to be called before the Sanhedrin, and he's going to be taken before the high priest and stuff, and all these things go on. The next morning, they take him before Pilate, you know, and all the things that, all that stuff that takes place. But he's going to give some information that is new to the disciples. He hasn't talked to them about it. We'll find that there's certain things that were sort of mentioned, but he gets real specific concerning things, and we can find out about the purpose of what he wanted. And this is something you need to get, because Jesus is going to talk to the disciples about the purpose of why he's going to be leaving. In other words, he's going to die. He's telling the disciples, you get ready for me to go. He's going to die on the cross. And see, many people talk about his thing going. They think about the death on the cross. He's talking to them about his leaving after the resurrection, not his dying. He's not talking about that. He's going to be talking specifically about what he's going to be doing in his death. So first of all, I'm going to start the first verse of the chapter 14. He said to the disciples, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, we need to understand this. He's not talking about his death here under the cross. He's going to be talking about he's going to do when he leaves after the resurrection. See, most of Christianity, their focus is on the things with Jesus. He's telling them, don't be troubled. He can't be telling them, don't be troubled about me dying on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't go up to heaven, and that isn't where he went. So he's going to explain to them about what's going to happen after his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, at the time, I will just say this, we know this, the disciples didn't really understand all of this till after the events had taken place, then they realized what he was talking about. They began to understand. They weren't. He had talked to them about he was going to die and things, and he was going to be raised from the dead. But they they didn't grasp that or believe that. In fact, he rebuked them after his resurrection for them not believing in him being resurrected. So they ended up rebuked over that. But so he's making a statement here that I'm going to go. Now, so this he's giving us a picture. Now, this is, in other words, he's preparing them for some information that when things take place after his resurrection, there's something's going to happen to them. They're going to get born again. This is what's going to happen to the disciples. After they were born again, the Bible tells us Jesus said he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." That's when they got born again. Now, they didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost till the day of Pentecost. But they received the Holy Spirit in the new birth. They received that. They got born again. Before that took place, these guys were hiding out. You know, they're hiding from the Sanhedrin. They're all afraid. After Jesus breathed on them, you know, and Jesus turned around after the resurrection, my God, those guys went down and went right to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's a place they were hiding from. They were hiding. They went to the upper room. They were publicly open. It says, you know, it says they went there with joy. Dear Lord. So something changed. They got born again. So they really came into a revelation of things. After the new birth is what happens. The new birth opens you up to something you have, and really your eyes to things you'd never even seen before. You know, I don't care how much I read the Bible, sat in church and heard all this stuff. It wasn't until I got born again, this thing became real to me. This thing became life to me when I started to see it. I said, my God. You know, I read these stuff before. I could sit and quote stuff from the Bible. I used to be able to quote, I used to quote more stuff from the Bible than a lot of the Christians did I worked with, the Reeses. I used to sit and they used to say stuff, and I used to sit and tell them what the Bible said and this, that, and the other thing. They'd have to go look up to see if it was there. Because we were born and raised around the stuff. But when I got born again, it's like this book completely changed. Well, the revelation that came to them completely changed. And why? There's going to be a difference. It takes place. Same chapter. If we go down to verse 16. Now, listen to what Jesus says to them. That tells them what's going to happen. And Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father," or other, that word pray there means, is translated, some translations just say, "I'm going to ask the Father." He said, "I'm going to ask the Father. I'm going to pray the Father. He will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." Now, that word another, if you look that up in the Greek, that word means one of the same kind. Now, here it says another. In other words, they said another. "I'm going to give you another." In other words, Jesus, understand this, when Jesus was with the disciple, he was their helper. He was the one who taught them. He was the one who showed them everything. And really, he was the one who anointed them. He was the one who did all this stuff. And he tells them there, he's telling these guys, "I'm going to go, but you know, I'm going to give you another helper." In other words, I'm going to give you one who is just like me, who is just like I am. Understand, you have God the Holy Spirit. That's one thing that a lot of Christians really don't get today. They don't understand. They don't know the Holy Spirit. It's another thing. Get to know Jesus. You'll know what the Holy Spirit's like. You'll know what the Holy Spirit will do. And so the Holy Spirit, he's one just like Jesus. He said, I'm going to send you one that's just like me. And he tells them here that he may what? He's going to abide with you forever. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to live with you. That's what he's going to do. So the Christian, the Holy Spirit is not something that sometimes there, sometime ain't there. He's there all the time. The Holy Spirit's with you all the time. So Jesus is telling them something. Now you need to understand this, which took place. This has never happened before in human history. The Holy Spirit has never lived in other humans before. It has never taken place. This has never happened. He's never lived in anybody. God didn't live in anybody. We're going to have something here. It's a totally different change. Jesus said, "Look, I'm leaving. And when I go, something's going to happen." And see, here's the whole thing. I've taught this before in teaching some things about the Holy Spirit. The reason for the new birth is so God can live in you. That's the reason of the new birth. The reason of the new birth, the reason for the new birth is not for forgiveness of sin. The new birth isn't about forgiveness of sin per se. The new birth, because of the new birth, because a person is born again, because a person accepts Christ and becomes a new creation. In other words, that new creation, you take on the nature of God. See, this is most of Christianity. When I was a kid, what they would do, this is how they taught us. I remember in Sunday school, they taught us and they taught us all wrong. They taught us they'd show you this old dirty heart. And Jesus Christ came, and what did He did? He cleaned up your old heart. And they would have those little things they'd put on the felt board, and then they'd have a little thing or something, they'd pull it back, and you'd have this clean heart. Now you got a clean heart. In other words, you're a washed up sinner. They just ran you through the car wash, cleaned you up, but you're the same scumbag you were before. And that's why most people just live as a scumbag, because they've been taught you're just cleaned up. No, you're not. You're born again. You are a new creation. You became a new creation for this purpose. If you're not, if you're just a cleaned up sinner, if you're a forgiven sinner, the Holy Ghost cannot live in you. The purpose of the new birth is so the Holy Spirit lives in you. This is what God wanted to accomplish in Jesus Christ. This was His purpose. His purpose that man would get born again and God would dwell with man. We go over, I'm not going to go through all the scriptures in the Old Testament. The Old Testament tells us about God abiding in man and living in us. That was what God was looking to do. He told Israel, this is what He wanted to do. He wanted to live in people. Isn't it interesting? He didn't turn around and say, what I really want to do is forgive your sins. That's what I really want to do. No, I want you to be born again. Born again, you change natures. You no longer have the nature of sin. The nature of sin is removed. That's how you were forgiven. Your sins were removed by the new birth. Not by, I forgive you. If that's all it is I forgive you, that doesn't do anything. That don't do nothing. It is through the new birth. When a person receives Christ, they become born again and they become a new creation. And that's the difference. That's why so many Christians really don't live victorious lives, because they never taught right about it. They weren't taught who they are, what they've become and what they are. Now you're a child of God. You have the nature of God, and now God lives in you. It'll change everything. That becomes real to you. It'll change everything. It'll change your prayer life, everything. Because you're no longer trying to reach out to a God out there somewhere. God lives in you. God, the Holy Ghost, is living inside of you. Is in your spirit. He's in you. And so this is what Jesus is talking to them. Isn't it amazing? Jesus is talking to them about His leaving and the purpose why He leaves. Is it so their sins are forgiven? No, He said, God's going to come and live. I'm going to send you guys a helper. I'm going to send you something. Woo! Hallelujah. That He may abide with you. Now, what is He? The Spirit of truth, verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive this Spirit because they must be born again. Now, did He say they can't receive Him? Now, we're going to read it on. But He doesn't say they can't receive Him because their sins aren't forgiven. He don't say that. Because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will what? Be in you. See, this whole thing is going to be, this is the things that Jesus has accomplished, that God has sent Jesus into the earth to become a man, to live in this earth, to fulfill the law, to do this whole thing that He did, to portray the goodness and the glory of God to humanity, and do all that He did, is so men could be born again and God would come and live in men. That's the purpose of it. The purpose is that God comes and lives in man. God wants the Holy Ghost in man. The world can't receive it. In other words, the world can't have it. In essence, we need to understand here. In other words, you have to be born again. But the world can't receive it. The Holy Spirit He's talking about here receiving is not from the standpoint of, well, I just got saved and got the Holy Ghost. It's about being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's what it's talking about. It's being filled with the Holy Ghost. Being baptized in the Holy Ghost is what it's talking about here. Because the world, when the world accepts Christ, they don't get filled with the Holy Ghost. But He says about He'll dwell in you. He says this, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And how does He come to you? Do you understand? As the Holy Spirit's in you, it's just as if Jesus Himself is in you. It's one just like Him. It's one just like Him. The Holy Ghost. That's why anybody, if you get to know the Holy Ghost in you, if you get to know the Holy Ghost, you're going to know Jesus. You're going to know Jesus. If you want to get to know Jesus, you can't get to know Jesus without knowing the Holy Ghost. Can't do it. Impossible. You have no more intimacy with Jesus Christ than you have intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You want to have intimacy with the Holy Spirit. That's how you have intimacy with Jesus. Because the job of what the Holy Spirit is, His job. Now, He told them this about this Spirit that's going to come, this one that's going to come along. Now, we go down the same chapter and go down to verse 26. And look what it says here. Speaking again, but the Helper, what is this? The Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. This another one just like me, the one that's just like me, it's going to come. He said, whom the Father will send, wow, in my name. He'll send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So what's the job of the Holy Spirit? We find out. See, this is one thing. You in his areas of acting in faith. You want the Holy Spirit to start to respond to you. Respond to the Holy Spirit according to what the Word says. Respond to Him in the same way. When you talk to the Holy Spirit, you know, some people say, well, I just read the Bible and I don't get anything. Well, you know, you just said the Holy Spirit's a lazy bum and don't do His job. No wonder you don't learn nothing. When you read the Word, you should sit down and say, when I read the Word, I get understanding and I get revelation because the Holy Ghost teaches me. He takes what belongs to Jesus and He shows it to me. And the things that Jesus spoke and showed me before, He brings it to my remembrance when I need it. See, you start talking. I've learned this a long time. You talk right about the Holy Ghost. You start responding Him to right according to the Word. It's like, you notice I always say before I teach or preach, I always say that the Holy Spirit will do exactly what the Word says He will do. He will do it. See, I can't go talk differently about Him, say derogatory things about Him, and He's going to turn around and say, oh, well, yeah, don't mind. You just keep talking your unbelief, and I'm just going to reveal it all to you anyhow. Respond in the same way. God the Holy Spirit, understand what I'm saying? The Holy Ghost is in you. Talk like He's real. Treat Him. Jesus said He would do certain things. Then He must do them. If I operate in faith, then He must do those things. So He'll always teach you. I have never in my Christian walk at any period of time went along without getting fresh revelation about things. I always get fresh revelation. Because that's the job of the Holy Ghost. He's in there for that purpose. He's in there for the purpose of revealing things to you. And that doesn't mean just from the standpoint of what the Bible says. He'll reveal things to you that's going on around out here. You know, the Holy Ghost will help you and protect your life. If you learn to listen and listen to Him and listen what He said, listen what He's saying. Jesus made this statement. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, I'm going to leave my peace with you. Now, well, what the Holy Ghost is going to be here. If Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, what do you think the Holy Ghost would be? Would He be peace? Or would He be trouble? To the believer, the Holy Ghost is peace. If He's going to, what's going to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to me? Well, if Jesus is peace and He left me peace, what's the Holy Ghost going to show me? What's He going to reveal to me? Peace. And so this is why we need to really walk in the light of the Holy Spirit in us. This is the purpose. Jesus Christ came and did all that He did. And we want to understand this. He's telling His disciples, this is what you're supposed to expect to happen. This is what you're supposed to expect to go on after I leave. This is what's supposed to happen. Well, man, this is contrary to what most of the church believes today. This is contrary to it. Jesus is telling disciples, this is the way it's supposed to go. This is the way it's supposed to happen. And so, that's why, you know, we're looking at things because this is what He wanted to accomplish. If we don't know what Jesus wanted to accomplish, we can read about his life and marvel over it, but you know where we end up at? It's worse than most church in the world is today. Well, we don't have healing today, and we don't have this today, and that's gone, and that's gone. Everything's gone. We got forgiveness of sin. We're just hanging out here hoping, you know, that Jesus will come one day and haul us off before we get, you know, croaked and get killed. The Father gets sick of us and gives us cancer, and we die. Trying to teach you something. And that's what you end up with. This is why people end up with the doctrines that they do. It's because they don't know why Jesus came. They don't know why. They don't know the purpose of what his ministry was. What did he want to accomplish? What was he going down through? If Jesus was just coming down here just to be nice and to do that kind of thing and do that, well, you know, that there was great. But I believe God had a better plan than that. And we're looking at this, is he's preparing them. Look, Jesus, in his last night, he's with the disciples. The last night that he's with them before his crucifixion, what's he trying to amplify to them? The Holy Ghost is going to come and live in you. This is the biggie. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And because, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, you talk about the Holy Ghost so much, you know, you get over here, you don't talk about Jesus enough. Hold it. If you know the Holy Ghost, you're going to know Jesus. If you don't know the Holy Ghost, I don't care. You can say all you want about Jesus, but you don't know a thing about him. Because the Holy Ghost is the revealer of Jesus. And if you want to know Jesus, you need to get to know the Holy Spirit. Because he will reveal Jesus to you. Hallelujah. So that's good news. Now in chapter 15, I want to read again here in 15. Let's go to... Again, Jesus makes a statement. Now, Jesus has been talking to them. And again, now look how often. These are things written in Scripture. These things are written to us, the things that Jesus told the disciples on the night that he was betrayed. These are the things. And we find how much he talked about the Holy Ghost. Verse 26 of chapter 15 says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father," I'm going to send him to you. Is this Helper? This one that's just like me. This one that's just like I am, that I'm going to send to you. He said, "The Spirit of truth, whom proceeds from the Father, he will what? He will testify of me." So see, again, we have another thing. People talk about a personal relationship with Jesus. A total impossibility without personally knowing the Holy Ghost. You'll never really know Jesus. You can't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Why? The Holy Spirit is the one who takes what belongs to Jesus, reveals it to us. He testifies of Jesus. That's what he does. See, you'll see one thing about the Holy Spirit. This is one thing you can get to know and understand because there's more than one spirit trying to operate in this world. Haven't you noticed? How do you know? You can tell by what spirits try to amplify or magnify. The Holy Ghost will always put Jesus to the forefront. Always magnify Jesus. Always. Other spirits may come along. There's religious spirits. There's people who got religious spirits. You get around them, you'd think for sure they're just a nice born-again person, and they ain't. You hang around them long enough, and you find out the spirit that operates through them is not a magnifier of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will always magnify Jesus. I don't care if it's manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit or whatever it is. Never does the Holy Spirit manifest gifts of the Spirit to magnify men. It's always to glorify Jesus Christ. Always. Always. You can tell them because I've been in places already where ministers were operating under demonic spirits. Watched them operate under all the supernatural things took place and people, God wasn't God at all. All it was magnifying men, drawing attention to people. The way you tell, Jesus Christ is the one glorified. You'll find this out, you see in Jesus' ministry. When Jesus was, as we look at Jesus' ministry, you'll find out Jesus would go out and do many different things and said the people would what? Glorify God. They would what? Glorify God. They would see what Nicodemus said. You couldn't do the things you do unless God's with you. In other words, they recognized the fact that a human being couldn't do what he was doing unless God was helping him. And this is why we have a lot today. It ain't nothing but people glorifying people. And we got to get back to the place. We want the things where Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, in the demonstrations and manifestations of the Spirit, whatever the Holy Ghost does, he glorifies Jesus. The Holy Ghost, His whole job is the fact is not, he never glorifies himself, talks about himself, or ever. It is to glorify Jesus, to carry out the ministry of Jesus, to do whatever Jesus wants done. And that's what he's there for. That's why he's in you. It's to carry out the ministry of Jesus. Always is. This is one of the things you have. I learned this about the Holy Spirit from learning to know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves to heal. Why? Because Jesus is a healer. The Holy Spirit's always going to emphasize healing. He's always going to do it. He'll always emphasize healing. Why? Because that's the ministry of Jesus. Look at Jesus in the earth. What did he do? The Bible. He went around teaching, preaching, healing. Teaching, preaching, healing. Teaching, preaching, healing. Well, that's the things he did. So what's the Holy Ghost going to do? He's going to take the ministry of Jesus. He's going to take what belongs to Jesus, the teaching, preaching, and healing, and he's going to do that. Healing's always going to be something that the Holy Spirit is going to want to do because it magnifies Jesus Christ. That's what he does. Healing's all, people say, oh boy, this healing stuff, you just always talking about this healing stuff. Well, I'm sorry, you don't like healing stuff, you don't like Jesus. Jesus is a healer. This is one of the things that really that magnifies Jesus more than anything else is the healing of the sick. Healing of the sick. And it's one of the things that is always going to, the Holy Ghost is always going to bring those things to the forefront. So he was going to proceed from the Father. It says he will testify me. And he said, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. He said, you'll bear witness of me. Why? The Holy Spirit. How are they going to bear? You know how this, many people talk about witnessing for Jesus. And most of the people talk about just telling people about Jesus. Like people talk about testifying of Jesus. It's testifying, and most people talk about testifying from the standpoint you tell people how you got saved. That's really not what Scripture teaches. The testifying of Jesus and the magnification of Jesus is through the Holy Spirit, through demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost, proving that Jesus Christ is alive. Now, you can tell people how you got saved. That could be fine. But you understand this. If Jesus' ministry, when Jesus was in the earth, he taught the Word of God, but he demonstrated through manifestations of the Spirit. We have the disciples. The disciples come along. We don't have any place where the disciples stood out and told people how they got saved. Not one time. We don't have anything in Scripture that ever happened. Not to mean you couldn't do that, but we don't have that one time ever happened in Scripture. You know what they did? They went and healed the sick. All kind of, they preached Jesus was the Christ and they healed people. That was testifying of Jesus. That's what the Holy Ghost does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Years ago, when I was in Full Gospel Businessmen, we'd do the things people would give their testimony and things about getting saved and things like that. But one of the biggest things was, and really I saw this among people that gave testimony. The ones who gave testimony of really the supernatural power of God in their life, of what God did supernaturally in them, about demonstrations of the Spirit, their testimonies were always much more effective than the guys who just talked about how they were bad sinners and got saved. They were much more effective because those people talked about the power of God, and in talking about the power of God, then after they were done testifying of those things, we'd always see demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit would take what they said and talked about how God moves supernaturally, and God would do those supernatural things among the people. And so you'd always have people coming to Christ and things like that. So we want to have more from the standpoint of reaching out to the world. I remember back in the 90s, they had what they called power evangelism. And what was called power evangelism just dealt from the standpoint of evangelizing through manifestations of the Holy Ghost. I remember a lot of the church world got sort of upset over that. Didn't like that. Didn't like that power evangelism stuff. You know, hey, getting over there and doing that, you know, kind of stuff. Started to make fun of people doing that. Well, that's exactly right. That's what the disciples did. The book of Acts is nothing but full of power evangelism. They went out, demonstrations, manifestations of the Holy Ghost. And so those demonstrations of the Spirit really magnified that what Jesus Christ was doing. So understand this Holy Spirit thing. Understand, this is Jesus. Before he's leaving, he's telling the disciples, you know, this is what's going to happen after I leave. This is what's going to happen when I go. This Holy Spirit's going to come. Now, if you look at 16, let's go to John the 16th chapter. Jesus made this. Now listen, Jesus telling them, now here again, in verse 7, Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Now, he is not here talking about his death on the cross. He's going to tell them because he is going to leave. Because why? When he turned around and died on the cross, he was raised from the dead and he walked among the disciples. And he walked among them, but he told him he's going to leave. And he said, it's to your advantage that I leave. It's your advantage, he said, that I'm going to go. In other words, Jesus is telling us something. If he would have stayed, we would have been at disadvantage. See, I've heard Christians over the years, I wish Jesus was here. I said, I'm glad he left. Because Jesus said it was best he did. And when you say you'd rather have him here, that means you don't know a thing. You don't know what you're talking about. He's saying here, it's to our advantage. When you're living in it, you and I are living in this earth today, we're at advantage here in the earth with Jesus Christ left because of why? Well, he goes on to tell them. He said, for if I do not go away, the helper, this one that's just like me, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. See, the Holy Ghost, this is Holy Ghost thing, is a huge thing. And this is all about that Jesus. Now look how many things that we read. This was the last night that Jesus was talking to his disciples. This is the last time from a standpoint of his teaching before his crucifixion. The last night he's talking to him, and he keeps talking to him about this Holy Ghost thing. This Holy Ghost thing. This is the biggie. And the church world today has not really walked in the light of it. That's why when we have is we come along, and really the big thing that takes place is Jesus tells them, if we go over, and let's go, we'll go there and look. Here the book of Acts. Let's go to the first chapter of the book of Acts. What does Jesus tell them before he's going to leave? Now, Jesus told them something was going to happen when he leave. He said this helper is going to come, the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1, verse 4 says this, and being assembled together with them, it said he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the what? The promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. What's that? The Holy Ghost. He said, you guys stay here. Don't anybody go anywhere till you get the promise of the Father. Don't you go do it. Don't you go do anything till you get the promise of the Father. Now, understand it. These guys, people say, well, on the day of Pentecost, the church started. No, it didn't. The church had already started. You get born again through believing in Jesus. There's nowhere in Scripture tells you that you to get born again, you got to receive the Holy Ghost, does it? The world can't receive Him. The world can receive Christ, but the world can't receive the Holy Spirit. The world can receive Christ, but the world can't receive the Holy Ghost. So he tells them here, he says, so in verse 4, he said, the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. In other words, didn't he tell them the night there before he was betrayed? He had been telling them about this. We just read all this stuff. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This ain't the new birth. This is baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Did you ever hear somebody talk about the new birth and call it the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, no, you didn't. Well, Jesus ain't talking about that. He's going to tell you guys, this isn't the start of the church. The church has already started. The day of Pentecost is going to be the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the promise that Jesus made, said would happen when he left. He said, I'm going to send this one to you. He's called the promise of the Father. Now, and get this, if he's called the promise of the Father, in other words, this thing about the Holy Ghost is one of the most important things of really of being born again. This thing here. These guys got born again. He didn't tell them, okay, you're all right. He said, don't you guys even go out and preach. Don't you go preach. Don't you go do nothing till you get the promise. Don't you go do nothing. Isn't it amazing? Church world today, you know, exactly opposite. The church world today operates, we talk about New Testament church. We hardly have any New Testament churches. They don't believe in New Testament. Because men get their ideas about things and men get their thoughts about stuff. Now, and understand the importance of Jesus made all these statements, and this was about his whole purpose of his life was the fulfilling of these things. See, if you understand these things, when you look at Jesus and his operation and his ministry as we go through there, Jesus, you'll look totally different at things. You know, most people, they're just, it's all a little nice story, a little nice healings. People ain't got no clue, you know, they don't have the idea. You know, just like, you know, Jesus said, you know, to the ones who believe in him, the works that he does, he said, they'll do also. Well, you know, because the people don't know the purpose of Jesus and what he was going to do. They don't know the purpose of it. They only believe in forgiveness of sin. Well, those same individuals are, you know, they can't believe, you know, any of this stuff. They'll get over there. All they do is, we got forgiveness of sin. So when it comes down to demonstrations of the Holy Ghost and things like that, doing the works of Jesus, you know, all I heard was a kid in church, you know, you got to walk like Jesus did and do what Jesus did. And as soon as somebody went out here and tried to minister to the sick, well, that stuff's over. Don't, that's the devil. See, when somebody tries to do what Jesus did, the whole purpose of the ministry of Jesus is so we could minister like God wanted us to, so we could minister like Jesus ministered in the earth. Jesus ministered. Jesus said, you know, greater works than I did, you'll do because of this thing. And so these were the things that he spoke. So we know this in verse 9. It says, now when he had spoken these things, he says, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, said, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus who you saw taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So it goes on to say that they returned to Jerusalem. Now, but you see this. We know that Jesus was raised from the dead because this isn't no figment of the imagination. Jesus is literally standing with these guys. He's a resurrected Jesus Christ. He is telling them now, you're going to see the fulfillment. Down, you go down and wait for the promise of the Father. You guys go down to Jerusalem, go back in there, wait for the promise of the Father. In other words, the fulfillment of what's going on isn't done yet. It isn't done. This thing ain't fulfilled yet. The fulfillment's not done. See, this is what the church tells today. Oh, you believe on Jesus. That was the fulfillment. That's it. It's done. Jesus said it's not. Jesus told them it ain't done yet. It's not completed yet. So we know this. In Acts 2:4, it tells us there, it says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we know this from the one, if we had studied this times before concerning the Holy Ghost, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit is the evidence of speaking in tongues is the evidence, you know, that a person has received the Holy Spirit, has received this gift that Jesus was talking about. This is what happens. And how else would you know that you get it? There has to be some way that you would know that you received it. You know, I've listened to people teaching already and that stuff on being filled of the Holy Ghost. They talk about being full of the Holy Ghost. I always ask the question, well, how do you know you're full of the Holy Ghost? Oh, well, you know, if you're just really bold and all that. That don't make you full of the Holy Ghost. How do you know? How did they know when they got filled with the Holy Ghost? We know this. When Cornelius got filled with the Holy Ghost, who was a Gentile, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, the disciples knew he got filled with the Holy Ghost because he spoke in tongues. That's how they knew. They didn't know because he got bold, or he did this, or he did that. He spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And really, it was a manifestation of that manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. But we need to understand that the whole purpose of this thing was, is the Holy Spirit. God wants humanity to receive the Holy Ghost. When they get born again, is to receive the Holy Ghost. That's what they're supposed to do. Paul went to Ephesus and he asked the believers there, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, if you just got the Holy Ghost on the fact that you believed on Jesus, what on earth was he talking about? Poor old Paul didn't even know the Bible. He hadn't gone to the local Baptist church and been told that all that stuff ended. He didn't know that. He had said, asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And see, this is one thing is we need to, we're born again for a purpose, and we're born again for the purpose to receive the Holy Ghost. That's what you, that's the purpose. Jesus, why? So God, the Holy Ghost, was going to live in you in fullness. That doesn't mean that somebody can't be born again and the Holy Ghost can't teach them things and do that. But there's things the Holy Ghost will never do through it. You go to, I don't care where you go, you'll never go around people who don't believe in receiving the Holy Spirit, and you'll see demonstrations and manifestations of the Spirit through them. Never happens. Any church that believes that, you don't go to them and see this stuff taking place. You don't see things taking place. No, they tell you that that stuff, that's the devil, man. You don't... So they equate to the devil the Holy Ghost's job. So the Holy Ghost can't do many things because they think the Holy Ghost is the devil. Is why? They don't know the Holy Ghost. They don't know Him. They don't know Him. And because they don't know Him, they say it's the devil because they don't know Him. So they don't know the difference. Most of them don't know the difference between God and the devil. They ain't got a clue. They don't know the difference between the two. And so is receiving the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the things that I really just felt tonight to emphasize that fact is what Jesus wanted to carry out of His purpose of ministry. Why was Jesus going to die on the cross? It would have been great. Oh, you just get born again. Oh, that would have really been nice. The whole point of it was that men could be filled with the Holy Ghost. Humans were walking in the earth full of God. God living in them, God dwelling, God communicating with them, talking with them, people being one with God. There's no way to be one with God without the Holy Ghost. You cannot do it. You know, that's why we've had, from the time I was a young and remembering in church, and they would always all having a personal relationship with Jesus, and they would talk about this. And to me, that was the most worthless thing. I'd hear these people talk about this, but I never saw anybody with a personal relationship with Jesus. I never met anybody. I come along, most of them didn't even know Him. When I got born again, I realized how little, and got full of the Holy Ghost, how little these people even knew about us. Wonder me that they could even believe to be saved, as dumb as they were. They didn't know nothing. They don't know a thing. And they talk about personal relationship. And really, this is their personal relationship. They're like a 2 or 3 month old baby, you know, you love those little things and you hold them and cut them, but you don't have much fellowship with them, you know? It's all one way. Yeah, give me what I want. Give me food. Poopy pants. Change that diaper. That's all it is. But there's no fellowship. You don't fellowship with your child, really, from a standpoint. As they get older, as they start to develop, you can start to fellowship with them. There's not really much of a fellowship from the standpoint when somebody's just this little baby. And if you don't got the Holy Ghost, you'll never grow. You don't have the one. It's going to guide you and lead you into all the truth. You know, Kenneth Hagin made the statement one time by getting filled with the Holy Ghost. He finally did after a few years after he got born again, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, you know, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, I realized this, he said, after it happened, he said, I could have been filled with the Holy Ghost and talked in tongues anytime I wanted to. He said, I could have done that. But see, his lack of teaching and lack of training in the Word about it, he didn't know. He's walking around. And he made this statement, and I believe it's true. It happened to me in the same way. I got born again, but I was only a matter of a few months till I got filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what, the baptism of the Holy Ghost changed my life more than getting born again did. Baptism of the Holy Ghost changed my life. Power, you know, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. See, but I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was taught that when I got filled with the Holy Ghost demonstrates Himself through you, does things, you know. And that's what I believe then. So I responded to Him in that way. And I'll tell you what, things just changed in my life. Supernatural stuff started happening. Stuff started working in me that I had never had work in me before. Things really, it just changed. I mean, from the standpoint of revelation, understanding, seeing things and understanding things, it revolutionized my life. It really changed stuff. And but I was taught, really, from Kenneth Hagin Ministries. I remember listening to tapes and him and things about him receiving the Holy Ghost. And he taught and taught on these things about what the work of the Holy Spirit is. And see, when I would get filled with the Holy Ghost, I believe that this demonstrations of this Spirit that Jesus talked about would happen to you. That's what was going to happen to me. See, most people, they don't believe in much. You know, I'm just getting filled with the Holy Ghost, I'll talk with Tom. But they have no idea the one, and really, the basis of what you're going to get to know the Holy Ghost is going to be by reading what the Scripture says about Him. Read. You know, I went over what Jesus, you know, I like John G. Lake said. John G. Lake said, go see what Jesus, if Jesus said something about, you know, a certain thing, a topic, he said, then that's the last word on the subject. He said, in other words, if anybody contradicts Jesus, that's, you know. Yeah. And I looked at what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost, and I would say, well, this is, I don't care what anybody else says about the Holy Ghost. I look at what Jesus said the Holy Ghost is going to do in me. What Jesus said is the way it's going to happen. That's the way it's going to work, because Jesus said so. And if He's Lord, which He is, then it will be as He has said. And so that's what I've always looked at. He was going to do what the Word of God said. And that's what expected. Sit down. Like, you know, you may know these Scriptures, but sit down and meditate on them till they become real to you about that's the one that's in you. He is going to do exactly what it says. You start to believe that He'll do these things. You start saying to Him, but I will guarantee you, it'll change the revelation and stuff that comes to you. You know, I found myself really growing up a lot faster spiritually than most of the people around me. And it was because of what I was taught. They were listening to all kind of people teaching them. The Lord told me, He said, you stay close to Kenneth Hagin's teaching. You stay close to his teaching. And I look back today and say, oh, thank God I didn't follow off after a lot of this other stuff. He said, you stay close to that. Why? Because it built a foundation in me. Most people grew into things that had no foundation. They're trying to operate in things in the Spirit. And after a while, it's all this junk and stuff people are doing and saying about God. Well, I want to see what the Bible says about God. I want to see what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost. There's one thing that I've never had this problem. I never got caught up into something that, and I've seen major ministers. I've seen big name ministers today who are on TV, huge ministers. I've seen them yield over, and I've been in meetings where they called things that were the devil in operation, called it God, and they were caught in the middle of it when people proved that it wasn't. I have a big name minister. I said, watched him stand on the platform, one of the largest ministries in the world, stand up and say, the devil's operation. He said, God said we're supposed to have this person lay hands on us. And I went and got up and left the building. I said, that person ain't touching me, because I knew the spirit that was on them was not God. I knew that spirit was wrong. And you know what? It was proved a couple months later that exactly it was. But this big name, and they'll move along with things. And the reason why is because I knew it. It wasn't, Ed is such a genius. I just measured it against what I was taught from the Scriptures. And I looked at what the Scriptures, it says how the Holy Ghost works. And I said, that cannot be the Holy Ghost, because it don't line up with the Scriptures of what the Holy Ghost does. His conduct. How he ministers, what he does. I said, it ain't right. It don't line up with the Scriptures. And I didn't figure that all out myself. Kenneth Hagin taught it to me. And I learned it from him, but I paid attention because he was in line with the Word. So always remember that. Jesus wants you in union with the Holy Ghost. This you got the greatest teacher in you. there's no better teacher in you. And he will always do exactly what the Scripture says he will do. He'll do exactly. And I just encourage you to take these things and meditate on them. Because this is the fulfillment of what Jesus wanted to do. If you want to live and walk the ministry that Jesus walked, then we're going to have to do it by the Holy Ghost. That's what he did. It was his union with the Holy Spirit is why he did what he did. And so if I'm going to do it the same way, then I need to walk in the same union. In other words, God did all that he did so we could come to this place and arrive at this spot where we could be born again and God could put his spirit in us. And everybody who believes could walk in this earth. And you know what? There'd be a ton of Jesuses in the earth. And what do we have today? Most of the church, hardly ain't even much good Christians, much less a good Jesus. I'm sorry, but you know why? And I'm not making fun of people. It's because they've been taught wrong. They have been taught to men's philosophies, men's ideas, men's things, and not a scriptural perspective of what Jesus, we looked and read tonight of what Jesus said that the disciples were supposed to expect, what they were supposed to. This is what's going to happen to you. So if you're born again, you're full of the Holy Ghost, then what those Scripture says, they are yours. That's the promise of God to you. He said, you go down there and you wait for the promise. Hallelujah. And what that Holy Spirit did, in the same way that He instructed Jesus and He taught Jesus and Jesus yielded to Him and what He did, that's the same way as that same Holy Ghost will work in you and do the exact same things. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do also. That's not any kind of incredible thing at all. It's not nothing phenomenal from our part whatsoever. It's the Holy Ghost in us. It's the Holy Ghost doing in me what I could have never done. The Holy Ghost manifesting things I could never manifest, nor could I ever do. But God will live in man, so men have God in them. Today, most people are running around trying to find, Christians are trying to find God. They're trying to search for God. God's living in them, and they don't even know it. They're out here having prayer meetings, trying to reach through the brass to heaven and all this. And God is living right in them. I don't have to reach to heaven. God moved in. You know, Brother Hagin used to tell us, the Holy Ghost ain't some spiritual hitchhiker hanging out in you just going along for a ride. He's in you. God is in us. You know, we're the house of God. Glory to God, it don't get no better. And so that was really the plan that Jesus had. And if we're going to fulfill it, so when we look at His ministry, many people look at Jesus' ministry and it's a foreign thing. It's a thing that He did, but they can never see themselves walking in it nor doing it. They can't see themselves in it. It's why? Because of not understanding the Holy Ghost in us. Hallelujah. You take any believer who starts to realize the Holy Spirit that's in them, any believer who gets full of the Holy Ghost starts realizing the Spirit that's in him, it'll revolutionize their life. It'll change everything. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you as we looked at these things tonight. Father, I just want to thank you so much for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Father, there's no greatness within us per se or anything that we've done or accomplished. But Father God, our salvation was just by coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And in the same way, we responded to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, just as your word has said. And I just want to thank you, Father God, Father, that God, the Holy Spirit, is in us. Hallelujah. He is teaching us. He's guiding us into the truth. He's taking what belongs to Jesus. He's testifying through the glory and power of God that Jesus Christ is alive and seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. I want to thank you that Jesus Christ is in the earth through the Holy Ghost. I thank you men and women in this earth will see, hallelujah, Jesus Christ and His ministry through the great Holy Spirit that operates through the believer. And we thank you, Father God, that all the things that the Scripture said and Jesus said would take place because of the Holy Ghost in men. I thank you, Father God, it's true. I think it's for every believer. And I pray, Father, for the eyes of understandings to be enlightened. Father, that men can know what the hope of the calling is. And Father, there's so many in the church world, they haven't seen these things or understand them. And I pray, Father God, for enlightenment in these days. For Lord God, for the spirit of seeing and knowing, Father, that they would grab a hold and see and know these things, Father God, and walk in the glory that our Master has come to fulfill in us. Hallelujah. Because we want Jesus Christ glorified in the earth in these last days. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.